Duisburg. Wie sieht's aus? Seid ihr da?
Fort nach die Füchse. Ganz stark. Und jetzt die Chance. Einfach so. Tor! Ja!
Da ist es. 5:4. Und wer macht es? Nano langsam. Bringt die Füchse in Führung. Ja. Wahnsinn.
Ist natürlich aufpassen, kein Abseits zu holen.
Schieeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeee
Late Hit, der offizielle Podcast der Füchse Duisburg.
Ja, herzlich willkommen zu Late Hit, dem offiziellen Podcast der Füchse Duisburg. Und mein Name ist Oliver Rettig und wir melden uns heute mit Episode 18. Und das ist auch die erste Folge nach der Hauptrunde. Wir sind ja gerade in der Zwischenrunde. Und passend, wie es zu Olympia, wie es sich für Olympia gehört, habe ich zwei Gäste aus dem Mutterland des Eishockeys, wie man sagt, aus Kanada. Und zwar unsere beiden kanadischen Importspieler. Ich bin sehr froh, dass sie heute da sind. Welcome to Philippe Sanche and Carter Popov.
Hi, welcome guys.
Hi, thanks.
Ich werde natürlich viel auf Englisch sprechen, das ist klar, und werde versuchen, so gut wie es geht zu übersetzen, damit auch das möglichst gut verstanden werden kann zu Hause. As a starter, I have the starting six. It's like questions to get us started, to break the ice a bit. And I thought about, a nice Canadian-German quiz to, be maybe stunned at some facts that you might not have known before and to get us started about it. Also ein Quiz, um so ein bisschen deutsch-kanadische Geflogenheiten mal so auf den Tisch zu legen. First question to you, please have a guess. How many lakes does Canada have? Just have a guess.
You go first, Phil.
I don't know.
I feel like it's going to be a really, really high number.
Yeah.
It is a high number, yeah.
I'll go... Like, how high are we talking, though?
Well, it's obviously more than thousands.
Okay, I was going to say 40,000.
Okay.
I'll go 40,001, then.
then you're closer. It's more than 2 million lakes in Canada, so that's a huge number, and I wanted to take that as a start. Many people have this image of Canadian players that when they grow up, there's a frozen lake, and they start playing hockey. Is this also true for you guys? Have you already started your first steps on frozen lakes and took the puck and tried your first hockey moves?
For me, it wasn't a lake. It was just the park in front of my parents' house.
Oh, okay.
Just the ODR in the winter. And luckily enough, I got to spend Christmas with my family this year. And that was the last time I skated before coming here with my girlfriend. It was at the ODR. Just a classic Canadian experience.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like me and Phil probably had very different childhoods in Canada because I'm from way out on the west coast of Canada. And that's probably the one little area of the whole country that really doesn't get that cold. So, you know, I feel like I've probably skated on an outdoor rink maybe two times in my entire life.
Oh, okay.
And they were both not in the province of British Columbia. So, yeah, mine would have been always in an ice arena.
Okay. Yeah. Ich übersetze mal kurz, also ich habe natürlich gefragt, was haben die beiden für Erfahrungen? Ist es auch bei denen so typisch, dass die auf einem gefrorenen See irgendwie Eishockey gelernt haben? Und Phil sagt, dass er ja einen Park eigentlich sich vor der Tür hatte, wo er da so ein bisschen gespielt hat. Und bei Carter ist das so, dass er ja im Westen von Kanada aufgewachsen ist und da lassen die Temperaturen das gar nicht zu. Also er hat da eigentlich immer so in normalen Arenen dann gespielt. Okay, the second question is about Germany, and I would ask you to guess, how many types of bread are there in Germany?
Too many.
German bread.
I'd say 1,000.
Okay.
I'm going to say 100,000.
Okay, you're closer again. It's more than 3,200. And I wanted to take that as a start. What do you think about German food? Is any stuff you like here in Germany, or do you like to keep your traditional Canadian food?
I love trying food. I'm a big, it's gonna sound weird, but I'm a foodie. I do know there's a lot of German sausages, and I've tried a couple already, and I love that. So I'd say I really like German food so far.
Also Phil sagt, dass er deutsches Essen gerne mag, weil ich fragte nämlich, wie viele Brotsorten es in Deutschland gibt. Und da waren die beiden sehr weit auseinander. Es gibt nämlich so circa 3200. Und er sagt aber, er probiert gerne viel aus. Und vor allem deutsche Würstchen haben es ihm angetan. And Cutter, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, this is now my fourth year being in Germany playing. So, I mean, you know, I've pretty much tried a lot of the food. And I mean, I'm going to sound like a Canadian tourist, but I mean, you know, you have your staples that you like to try, the schnitzels and of course the sausages, different meats, breads. Yeah, definitely a big fan of it. And definitely, at least for me, something that, you know, you don't really find a lot of like German themed restaurants in Canada, at least where I'm from. So I think I'd only been to one like in my life. So yeah, definitely good to come back and eat all the good food here.
Okay. Also Kater sagt auch, dass natürlich mit Schnitzel und Würstchen auch so groß geworden ist. Aber in Kanada gibt es tatsächlich nicht so viele deutschartige Restaurants. Deswegen ist er immer froh, wenn er hier dann was essen kann. Is it true that you guys use maple syrup for a lot of stuff? Because I did some research on the internet and they said, well, you use it with every different sorts of food. Or is it just an exaggeration?
No, that's not an exaggeration. I can probably use it for every recipe.
Okay.
It's a little bit harder to find in Europe, but there's still some good maple syrup, but I use it for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Doesn't matter what. If I have maple syrup, there's good chances it's in my meal.
Also Phil bestätigt das Gerücht mit dem Ahornsirup. Also wird tatsächlich für jede Mahlzeit des Tages auf jeden Fall genutzt. Does it also apply to you?
Well, I'd say that's definitely the French-Canadian in Phil coming out. I mean, I definitely, though, like, yeah, I'm a big syrup guy. Mostly for me, it's more so breakfast. Sometimes in recipes and stuff, but I usually keep it on the breakfast table usually.
Okay, Phil sagt, er hält es eher mit dem Frühstück mit Ahornsirup. Er sagt, bei Phil ist das der franco-kanadische Einfluss, aber er hat es eher so am Frühstück. Okay. Third question. How often does a Canadian say the word sorry on average on a day? There is a statistic about it, really.
I say it quite a lot, to be honest. Say in a day 20.
Okay.
I mean, I say it a lot, and I think I annoy people with how much I say it, but I was gonna say closer to 100, but I'll say 75.
Okay. This statistic only said 8 to 10 times on average, but I was really stunned because I think it's true that Canadian people use the word sorry really often, more often than Europeans would do that. And I even found jokes that once you bump into a door, you would apologize to the door for having you bumping into the door. Is that also true? Does it tell anything about you being very polite and really communicative with people? Is that true?
I mean, I know for a fact that when someone does something or like bumps into me and I'm like standing there and like they're bumping into me, I know I'm going to say sorry, even though I know it's their fault. Like, okay. I feel like that's just Canadian instinct is to try to you know, keep everybody cool and just always say sorry. I think I said sorry 10 times at the grocery store today. So.
Okay. Also das Gerücht scheint tatsächlich zu stimmen, dass Kanadier sich gerne entschuldigen. Die beiden haben richtig hohe Zahlen gesagt. 8 bis 10 Mal habe ich gefunden in der Statistik. Und man entschuldigt sich auch, wenn man nicht den Eindruck hat, dass man sich entschuldigen muss. Also ist tatsächlich wohl so ein Punkt. Talking about cultures and cultural differences, you have spent some years in Germany. It's your real first appearance here in Germany. What about this cultural differences? Is it easy for you to fit in, or are you guys that get used to many different situations, many different people? Is that easy for you? Can you take us through?
I've been for my last experience in a German culture, if we want, was last year at the start of the year. I was in the Alps in Italy, and it was mostly German because we're so close to Austria. But I'd say, let's say, like, in the room, obviously, the guys are are speaking mostly German, but I don't stay quiet sometimes. I just like, I'll ask what they're saying. I'll try to get involved in the conversations. But I would say, like, obviously at grocery store, I just run around with my Google Translate.
And okay.
I try to guess sometimes. Obviously from packaging, sometimes you can just tell. But no, so far it's a fun experience for me. Obviously my first real experience in Germany. So trying to use every tool to fit in a little bit.
Ich habe gefragt nach der kulturellen Eingewöhnung und Phil sagt, dass er eigentlich ganz gut klarkommt, sei es mit dem Google Translator in der Kabine, um so ein paar Sachen zu verstehen. Manche Sachen kann man sich auch erschließen, aber es macht ihm Spaß, so ein bisschen sich einzuleben. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's been pretty good because I feel like the German people are very welcoming. And I mean, I think a big part of it is just kind of being comfortable, knowing that you're going to be uncomfortable a little bit and like,
yeah,
just being upfront with, you know, hey, I'm from Canada. I don't really know. Could you help me? Or if I go out to a restaurant and then, you know, I mean, I've tried to, you know, speak a little bit of German that I can and stuff like that. And I feel like if you make an effort to try, like, I feel like people are very receptive to that.
Yep.
And like Phil was saying in the dressing room with the guys, like, I think the guys can see us a lot of times sitting there when they're speaking German and we're just like listening and trying to like pick up a little bit and they always are telling us what they're talking about or if we are wondering about something, like they're really welcoming too. So I feel like the culture has been, it's kind of like as long as you try to invest yourself a little bit in it, then you know you can kind of get something out of it.
Also Carter sagt, dass das hier eine sehr große Willkommenskultur ist, dass man wirklich sehr wertschätzt, wenn Leute versuchen, auch wirklich ein bisschen Deutsch zu sprechen oder in der Kabine, dass man sofort nachfragt, ey, was war das gerade auf Deutsch? Man versucht das ein bisschen zu verstehen. Aber er sagt, dass man wirklich das schätzt, wenn Leute merken, man bemüht sich, die deutsche Sprache zu sprechen. Da ist die Annäherung doch sehr stark da. Okay, a fourth point is a quiz on a German word. And I will give you two possible explanations, definitions for that German word. I will translate that literally to you what it means, but it doesn't maybe mean, okay. The German word is sturmfrei, and the original translation or literal translation would be storm-free. What does that mean? Is it A, an area that is statistically less affected by extreme weather situations? Or is it B, having your home alone for yourself because your parents are away? What does sturmfrei in the German language mean? A or B?
I'm going to go for B. Just I know frei is, it is free because my brother-in-law is gluten-free. So
okay.
That's the only reason why I know. Yeah.
I'm going to go with B. I feel like there's a lot of German expressions that aren't really exactly what the literal meaning is. So I'm going to go with B as well.
So you're guessing right, exactly. So that is a term when kids are really happy because parents are away. Also beide haben richtig das Wort sturmfrei übersetzt quasi. Es bedeutet, dass man zu Hause alleine ist. Und sie sagen, ja, das ist schon das Gefühl. Im Deutschen gibt es immer solche Redewendungen. Genau. So talking about language, we already talked about it. So guys are very receptive to you and trying to help you out. Is it difficult for you, the German language? Because hockey is a very international sport and you use English all the way because of, you know, face off and all the words that exist. Is it really important for you guys to learn the language or is it just a multicultural thing? Everybody is helping. It doesn't matter really to not speak German.
For me, it matters because I think it's a way of living the full experience of like a full German experience. I would say though, it's really, really hard to learn.
Yeah. True.
Obviously I speak French as well.
Yeah.
So like a lot of like Spanish, Italian, you can kind of like guess a little bit the word because it here is similar to French or English, but I think it's German is so different. And I feel also like some words are just so long and so complicated to pronounce.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot harder to learn and to like repeat like constantly and be like, okay, I'm comfortable saying it. I think that's the biggest issue as well, is the pronunciation and the reading of the words.
Also Finn sagt, dass die Aussprache natürlich der Wörter schwer ist und dass er natürlich ist wichtig, finde ich, Sprache zu können, um diese volle Erfahrung der Sprache auch zu haben. Aber es gibt lange Wörter und schwierige Wörter, sodass es wirklich nicht einfach ist in der Betonung. Man kann sich manches aus dem Französischen irgendwie erschließen auch, aber es ist tatsächlich schwierig. What about you and the language?
Yeah, I think having a few years here, I've picked up, a lot of words and stuff. I think it is definitely important, and I'm finding it more important, though, to learn to understand rather than speak it. I feel like there's a lot of situations where I can actually at least understand what someone's saying and then can kind of, you know, act accordingly or something like that. I feel like I don't think I'll ever get to conversational German, but I do know words, one-off words, or I feel like I can piece something together. But I think definitely the understanding of it is key. So like when you're reading signs or you're reading, you know, any sort of documents or something like that, or Coach Frank, he speaks English a lot, but he does speak German too. So I feel like being able to just understand hockey phrases or things like that, where then you don't need to ask and you can just kind of, you know, keep going and he doesn't need to worry about if you understand or not. I think definitely the listening and understanding part is huge.
Carter sagt, dass das Verstehen und Zuhören sehr wichtig in der Sprache ist, dass man wirklich auch weiß, okay, das ist ungefähr gemeint, weniger als es selber sprechen zu können, sondern auch wichtig zu verstehen, worum geht es. Und das ist für ihn auch sehr wichtig. Okay, a question about summer sports. What would you guys prefer, lacrosse or golf?
Golf.
Okay, so lacrosse obviously is one of the national sports in Canada. Have you ever got into lacrosse, tried it, or?
Never, but I know a lot of guys, a lot of my friends actually played. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I guess I was like football, soccer player when I was young, baseball a lot, and I guess it translated more into golf than lacrosse, and I was keeping the physical play for hockey.
Okay. Also Phil sagt, er hat eher mit Golf als mit Lacrosse, dem kanadischen Nationalsport, Kontakt. Und es gibt natürlich viele, die es spielen, aber so Fußball und Baseball sind eher so im Thema. And you and your Lacrosse experiences?
I never grew up playing Lacrosse. Kind of like Phil, in the summer, I was a baseball player. My family was big into baseball. So, it would be hockey. And then once hockey's done, the skates go away and it would be baseball. But now that I'm older and just hockey is the focus, it's I think it's the hockey player dream to play hockey in the winter and then you're on the golf course all summer relaxing and having fun. So definitely been playing golf for a long time.
Also Carter spielt auch sehr lange Golf und Lacrosse ist für ihn auch nicht so das Thema, genau. Talking about traditional sports and North American sports, the Super Bowl was yesterday. Are you interested in football in the Super Bowl? Did you watch it?
I watched the first half and the halftime show, but then it was getting a little bit late. And I guess it depends for me. Like some years I'm a little bit more invested. I used to be more invested in football as well, but I feel like obviously with my last couple of years being in Europe, it's a little bit harder to follow, except maybe on Sundays. But usually I watch the Super Bowl and that's pretty much the only game I'll watch all year.
Mm. And you?
Definitely. I'm a huge, huge football fan. I mean,
okay.
Growing up in Vancouver, it's so close to Seattle.
Oh, yes.
So I've been a Seahawks fan since I was a little kid. My family kind of evolved into Seahawks fans over the years because of the proximity. I watched every second of it yesterday, and I was pretty happy. And I was on FaceTime with my family back home, and they were watching. So I actually went to a game last year in Seattle, which was a lot of fun. So but we're big into football. I love every Sunday that it's usually a write off back home. It's on the couch watching football all day.
Also die beiden haben ganz unterschiedliche Annäherungen an Football. Bei Phil eher wenig. Den Super Bowl hat er sich nur bis zur Halbzeit angeschaut, aber Carter ist ein richtiger Fan. Also die Nähe zwischen Vancouver und Seattle ist natürlich da und deswegen ein großer Seattle-Seahawks-Fan. Gestern das ganze Spiel geguckt und sogar gefacetimed mit der Familie. Also da ist eine sehr starke Nähe zum Thema Super Bowl. Okay, the last of the questions is a survey about the most favorite traveling countries in the world. What will you say, how did Germany and Canada end up in the rankings of the top 20 nations? I was really surprised.
I think Canada is pretty high on that list because I remember seeing something about it, especially in winter. I think Canada is a nice place to go. I really enjoyed my time so far. I've traveled like a couple places in Germany, so I'm going to say Germany's, I don't have a number, I guess, but I'd say Germany's pretty high too.
Don't want to offend anybody either.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay.
I would definitely say Canada's, I would think they're in the top three. I'm going to put them third.
Okay. I was really surprised they put Germany on 8 and Canada on 20.
Oh,
oh wow.
According to millions of visitors a year. And according to that list, well, France was really high. The United States were really high, I think. And Canada only on spot 20. But I knew many, many people who would love or like to travel to Canada. So I was really surprised.
I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we're from Canada, too. So we're like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, everyone I talk to that's gone to Canada from here has loved it. But
yeah.
Die letzte Frage war zum Thema beliebteste Reiseländer und Deutschland auf Platz 8 international, Kanada auf 20. Waren die beiden ein bisschen überrascht, hätten es ein bisschen höher gesehen, weil ja auch viele gerne hinwollen. What are your favorite destinations when it comes to traveling in summer for a vacation? Where do you guys end up? On an island or in the mountains?
I guess part of playing hockey in Europe is the proximity of, I guess, like Europe countries and so I'd say the last couple of years I've traveled quite a lot and I've been lucky to do so. And I'd say Egypt / Morocco were probably my favorite ones. But obviously Paris was a lot of fun. Couple of Europe, I guess, countries were amazing. But I think it was just more the cultural differences and like the shock of going in a place that you're not really custom what you're not used to. That kind of got me.
Also Phil mag die Erfahrung zum Beispiel in Marokko und Ägypten gewesen zu sein als Reiseziel und er mag das so, wenn er irgendwo hinkommt und nicht genau weiß, was ihn erwartet. Das findet er immer ganz spannend. Paris fand er auch sehr schön. What are your favorite destinations so far?
I mean, in the summer, usually you just travel like locally or somewhere in the US just because it's pretty, you know, easy to get there and relatively affordable. But I think from my travels in Europe playing hockey, I played right near Paris for a year. So, you know, Paris was a great city. One of my favorite places I've been to is Venice. That was really, really fun. Prague. I like Prague a lot. I mean, I feel like there hasn't been a place in Europe that I've gone to that I didn't like.
Okay.
But then also more of like warm travel destinations in the summer. I mean, anywhere where there's a beach or a nice golf course. So, I mean, my family loves to go to Las Vegas, which is a lot of fun in the United States. I've been around the Caribbean a little bit on cruises. So somewhere where the sunshine is, that's definitely a spot for me.
Also Carter war überall schon, sei es in Prag oder Venedig oder in der Karibik und Las Vegas mag seine Family auch. Also er war da überall und sagt, es muss warm sein, dann ist es immer sehr schön. Okay, so this was a long starting six to get familiar with you guys. I was diving into your career steps and starting with Phil, you've been in Great Britain for several years and I found a quote from a person in Dundee saying, Phil is a person who plays hard every night. It's difficult to play against, and he will do everything for the team.
That's a nice quote. That's a nice guy.
That's a nice guy. And you also were captain on a lot of teams. So what were your experiences like in Great Britain? How did it help your hockey sense or career to get developed?
I would say like obviously the UK league is probably the most North American league if you compare all the leagues in Europe with the UK. That's another, by the way, great travel destination. I think I drove around Scotland and the whole UK. And I loved it. I had an amazing 4 years there. I met my girlfriend there as well. So it's a really special place in my heart. And as a hockey player, it's like everyone's talking about traveling in Germany when we went to Rostock the other day. But that's pretty common in the UK when you're playing for a Scottish team. So hockey-wise, it was always a great experience to play in Scotland. You meet, like, every time you play in a professional team and, like, outside Canada, you meet a lot of different people from different backgrounds. So it's a lot of fun for, like, as an experience, a cultural experience to live in a different country as well. But on the ice, it was just, like, the grind of playing back-to-back with the traveling. You have to take care of your body to be successful. And you play, I would assume you play a little bit more games during the regular season there. But like I said, it's such a physical game that you have to be willing to go to war every game. So I think that's one part. Like, no matter how much you travel that day to go play the game, you have to be ready. Try to get up on the bus a little bit so you can get your legs moving a little bit before you get out of that bus. But hockey wise, like I said, there's the I guess you could say that in any professional league, it's so different than playing junior hockey or even university hockey in Canada. It's about taking care of your body as much as you can, because it's a long season. People think that in Europe you have so much time on the ice, but the UK league is not like that. It's really physical, so it's a mindset.
Okay. Ich habe viel gefragt zu seinen Stationen und habe ein Zitat vorgelesen aus Dundee, wo man ihn wirklich als sehr teamorientierten Spieler, gegen den man nicht so gerne spielen wird, sagt. Er war auch Kapitän in vielen Teams. Er sagt, ja, er hat ja in Schottland gespielt, in Dundee und Glasgow. Und er sagt, sehr physisch, sehr körperlich und die Reisen auch extrem anstrengend. Man musste auf seinen Körper auf jeden Fall achten, sagt er. Und es ist eine großartige Erfahrung, weil er auch seine jetzt eine Freundin da kennengelernt hat. Das verbindet er also emotional sehr. Carter, about you. I read when you were in Passau, there was an article saying that you actually ended your career, and we were all really surprised. And you started your agency and in Canada, and now you're back. How is that possible?
How is that possible? that would have been at the end of last year. Mm. I had just kind of made a personal decision that, I had some things going on back home, an opportunity to start my own business. And I had a group of young clients that I was working with and helping advise them and help some players, that are pursuing pro contracts over in Germany or France or other places like that. So I had felt like I was just a little bit, burnt out from playing, and I didn't really see, myself going through the kind of the grind of, you pack up all your things and you move across the world for 9 months a year. You say bye to friends and family and it gets tough, doing it year after year after year. So I decided not to do that at the start of the year, and I was coaching and working at home, and I really enjoyed my time, at home being around people for birthdays and holidays and things like that, Christmas, spending lots of time with friends and family, and I was playing, just kind of hobby hockey at home, but I was on the ice coaching every day, and I just started to miss it after a while. And I've always been a guy that's kept myself in good shape. I'm really keen about my fitness. I'm a very dedicated person, and I had some teams still inquiring to see if I was interested, and I was saying, well, no, I'm working. I have a work contract and that. And as the winter went on, it looked like it was possible for me to be able to, come on out at the end of the year. So, I was really, really starting to want to come back and play competitive hockey again. And I missed it a lot, and had some conversations with my agent. And he said that in January there were still teams asking. And it happened to work out, unfortunately, for us here. There was an injury to an import, but that was an opportunity for me to come in. So I think timing wise, it was pretty crazy, the timing of me being able to leave and there being an opportunity. So I'm really happy about it, and it's been a great couple weeks here so far. And I find myself looking forward every day to going to the rink and getting on the ice and playing, and even practice and the gym and all the stuff. It's the stuff that can wear on you over time. It's stuff that I'm like, oh, it's practice day. I got to go to practice now. So, it's been a crazy year for me in terms of that. But, I think I really found that I still do have a passion for playing hockey.
Ich habe Kata gefragt, weil er ja, als er in Passau war, eigentlich verkündet hat, dass Karriereende war, und er hat eine Agentur drüben begonnen und jetzt ist er wieder hier. Wie konnte das sein? Und er sagt, ja, er war einfach ein bisschen ausgebrannt und musste mal so ein bisschen Abstand nehmen und dieses Jahr für 9 Monate immer rüberkommen über den Teich, und das war einfach zu viel. Und dann hat er aber so gemerkt, also er kann irgendwie nicht ohne und braucht das irgendwie wieder. Und ja, da hat sein Agent sich bei ihm gemeldet. Es gab Interessenten, die angefragt haben. Und ja, das hat ihn so ein bisschen wieder gekitzelt, und jetzt freut er sich auf jedes Training, auf jeden Moment im Gym und mit der Mannschaft zu sein, und es würde sehr viel Spaß machen. I also have a quote by a former teammate saying that you are an excellent type of guy and you are a player that's making every teammate better.
Wow, that means a lot hearing that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have the teammate there?
I have to check it again. It was one of, I think it was one in Oberliga Süd. I have to check it again. Okay. But is that also true for you? Because when I saw you, I was in Hannover too. You like to give directions to players on the ice, so trying to help the players. Is that your mindset, always trying to make the other person better and to initiate plays? And is that your style of playing?
Yeah, well, I feel like also seeing what I'm doing outside of hockey, outside of playing hockey, getting into coaching, getting into advising and agent work, I feel like I have a lot to offer people. And I mean, when I was a young player back home, older players and experienced players always kind of helped the younger players along.
Yep.
So definitely, coming to the Oberliga, you have tons of 18 and 19 and 20-year-old guys on your team that are just getting their feet wet and trying to establish themselves and start a hockey career. And I feel like that's the least that, I can do coming over here too, is try to help these kids too that, want to be playing when they're 30 years old and that. So, just try to help everyone as much as I can. And I mean, the more you help, the better the team's going to do and the more fun everyone's going to have.
Ich habe ein Zitat mitgebracht von einem ehemaligen Teamkollegen, der Carter als einen ausgezeichneten Typen bezeichnete, der jeden Mitspieler besser macht. Und da hat es sich sehr gefreut, das zu hören, wollte direkt wissen, wer das gesagt hat. Und ich habe ihn gefragt, was sein Style of Play ist, dass er andere besser macht, und sagt, ja, also als erfahrener Spieler, der auch so ein bisschen im Coaching drin war, das hat er in Kanada auch gemacht, versucht man immer auch Ratschläge zu geben auf dem Eis, so wie es man auch selber als junger Spieler bekommen hat. Und das ist eigentlich schön, immer die Sachen weiterzugeben und andere Spieler besser zu machen. Do you guys have any rituals prior to the games? Any habits that you have all the time? I have that. You were asking for the player, Jakub Čicek.
Oh, Jakub, yeah. Jakub is a good player.
So do you have any habits, pre-game habits, like starting in the morning, minutes prior to the game? Any stuff you'd like to share?
I don't have any special things I do, but obviously I like to eat around the same time before games and try to eat pretty much the same thing until I get fed up of the same meal. But
Meal is that usually?
I usually eat chicken and rice before the game, and just really simple. But then obviously in the warm up, I'll try to kind of imagine myself playing the game.
Okay.
So I usually always do a little stretch when we start warm up, and then towards the end, I know Sancho loves to do a bunch of sets of passes, forehand, backhand, sauces or over the goalie stick in between drills. So I kind of picked that one up this year since I got here, and I quite enjoy it too. It's kind of warming up your hands a little bit, but if not, I try to pick. If we do the half moon at the end, I'll go from the left side I'll take the first shot from there and then I'll go to the right side. That's pretty much the only kind of thing I really, really like a little bit more picky about, I guess, before games.
Ich habe gefragt nach Ritualen, nach Habits, die man so vor dem Spiel hat. Da sagt Phil ja, dass er vielleicht immer so Hähnchen mit Reis gerne isst und also zu gleichen Zeitpunkten immer isst. Sonst hat er eigentlich nicht so viel, nur im Warm-up gibt es so ein paar Sachen, hat er sich von Solmanis ein paar Dinge abgeschaut, wie er Pässe spielt im Warm-up und hat immer seine feste Position, wenn sie im Halbkreis vom Torwart stehen, von wo er anfängt zu schießen. Genau. And what about you and your rituals and habits?
I think when I was a younger player, I had a lot more rituals and habits, and I found as I've gotten older that I've kind of tried to move away from it just because I always found if I did do something exactly how I wanted it to go, it would like mess with my head for the game. So there are different things that I like to try to do consistently, but if it doesn't happen, if I don't eat the exact same meal, it's not the end of the world or something. I try to, you know, really, but I find myself I'll do the same off-ice warm-up. Like, I have a routine of things I like to do. I like to do the same off-ice warm-up with the same stretches. When we're on the ice doing the on-ice warm-up, I like to kind of do the same things, but I feel like there isn't anything that I'm completely sold on doing. It's more of just kind of how I'm feeling on certain days, which, I mean, I feel like telling some hockey players that they call me crazy for not really having specific rituals and stuff. But I just try to keep, I find it helps keep my brain a little more relaxed heading into games.
Also er sagt, dass manche ihn schon als verrückt bezeichnen, weil er nicht so viele Macken hat und dass er eigentlich davon abkommt, immer das Gleiche machen zu müssen, dass es auch nicht so schlimm ist, wenn man mal so ein bisschen was anderes macht, dass das für den Kopf auch entspannt ist. Aber er hat natürlich auch im Warm-up off-ice, was er macht, natürlich auch ein paar Dinge, die er ständig immer verfolgt, aber ohne diesen Druck zu haben, dass das immer passieren muss. Okay, next big topic, Olympic Games. And since I have two Canadians at the table, I have to ask about the Olympic Games. So obviously the Canadian team, maybe one of the best teams that has ever been put together with the most spectacular players. Is it a question or a fact that Canada will win the gold medal?
I think there's no facts in hockey, especially when it's a one game. Mm-hmm. Like it's not a playoff. I'd say if it was a seven game playoff, I would take Canada every time, but
yeah,
like there's obviously a lot of talent now across the world, not just in Canada or the US, but I'd still say Canada's gonna win it, but obviously I'm a little bit biased.
Yes,
I just, yeah, I mean, like Phil's saying, anything can happen when it gets down to one game eliminations, but it's hard to imagine a team with that many, not only like great NHL players, but also like some of like the best leaders of NHL teams all put together, that and it's hard to imagine like a Crosby and Makar and MacKinnon and McDavid roster going into a game just choking or something like that. But I mean, the Four Nations face off last year was, I mean, it was tight, really tight game, right, with the US in the final. So and all the countries are, the playing field is getting a lot closer, I think, too. And I think at the international game, like every team plays really hard defense.
Exactly.
It's they're tight games always. So
not to brag about where Sancho's from, but I know Latvia gave a lot of problems to Canada in the previous Olympics. Yeah. So
Latvia always is giving Canada problems, even at the junior level too. They're giving us problems.
I think they beat them recently, 2 years ago. So.
But no, I'll, after saying all that, I'm going to say it's a fact. They're going to win.
Ich habe ein bisschen spaßig provoziert gefragt, ist das überhaupt eine Frage oder ist das ein Fakt, dass Kanada die Goldmedaille holt? Sagt Phil natürlich und Kat hat das ähnlich klar. Wenn es ein Spiel ist, wo man ausscheiden kann, da kann natürlich alles passieren. Die Weltelite ist zusammengerückt, aber sie sind sich beide einig, wenn es über 7 Spiele geht, dann würde Kanada sich zum Beispiel durchsetzen, weil mit den ganzen Leadern in der Mannschaft, sei es ein MacKinnon oder ein McDavid oder ein Crosby, dann ist es schwer, sich vorzustellen, dass die Kanadier große Probleme haben werden. Aber sie haben auch gesagt, Lettland, wo ja auch Sandis herkommt, macht Kanada gerne mal Probleme in Spielen und viele Teams verteidigen auch sehr stark. Deswegen wird das wahrscheinlich ein enges Feld. What do you think about the German team? Because also the best German team that has ever played so far, with Dreiseitel, of course, a very famous player, and Mo Seider playing a very spectacular season, and Stützle as well. So what do you think about the German team?
I think they're going to be surprising. Like you said, they've got like top players too, not just like really good players, but top players in the NHL right now. So I think they have more cider to it on D. So, yeah. You know, they've got some quality players. So I think they're going to obviously push a lot of the top teams. And I think they can make a push for a medal for sure. But there's so, like I said, again, there's so many good teams, so many good players in each country. So I think it's going to be hard to maybe compete for the gold medal, because I'm assuming Canada, US will be there. But you never know, like Sweden, Finland, the Czechs, they're all, their roster are amazing. So
I think though they'll show well, like Phil said. I mean, when you have a player at the caliber of Dreisaitl, like even some of like the countries maybe with more depth don't have a player of that stature, like where he could go out and just win you a game, right? And is Grubauer one of the goalies? You have a good, you know, goalie that's played in the NHL for years. Like that's a big advantage too over, you know, some of the other countries. So and they got so many good young players coming in, like you said, Stützle, Cider, and you know, players like that. So I feel like it can go any way too, especially when it gets down to one game elimination, right? Yeah, so you have a star player and you have a good goalie, like that can be enough.
Ich habe natürlich auch zur deutschen Mannschaft gefragt und die beiden sagen, auch ein Team mit sehr viel Talent, auch in der Spitze sehr starkes Team und kann natürlich auch, da sind sich beide einig, weit gehen, vielleicht sogar Richtung Medaille, wobei sie natürlich beide das kanadische oder das amerikanische Team vorne sehen, aber mit so viel Qualität, Mo Seider oder Stützle oder natürlich auch Dreiseitel, kann es auf jeden Fall weit gehen, speziell wenn es ein Spiel ist, was natürlich entscheidet dann am Ende. Will you as a team watch the Olympics together? Already done some... talks about TV sessions where you follow the Olympics. Is that something the team is also trying to watch as a, well, team building event or stuff?
That's actually that. I think that would be a good idea. We haven't really talked about Olympics yet. Yeah. The men didn't start yet. I think only the women.
Right? Yeah, I think the men start, I think, on Friday.
Thursday, Friday
maybe. So. But yeah. I heard some of the guys when we were in the gym today were talking about it. So I feel like we'll probably end up watching game. Hopefully maybe we can get a Canada Germany matchup in here, and me and Phil can be the enemies watching that.
Ich habe gefragt, ob es auch eine Teambuilding-Maßnahme vielleicht sein kann, dass man sich das zusammen anschaut. Es wurde schon in der Kabine so ein bisschen geredet und Carter Flachs, gerade wenn Deutschland gegen Kanada spielen würde, das wäre natürlich lustig, wenn dann die beiden quasi vom anderen Team mit zusammen gucken würden. Aber beide freuen sich natürlich darauf. Okay, let's talk about the Füchse season so far. For us fans and people close to the team, a really successful season so far, and many other players and teams saying that Duisburg is one of the main surprises in this season, because ranked fourth now at the moment, which would guarantee home ice advantage in the playoffs. What would you say is one of the big plus points and strengths on the team? What does make the Füchse team so successful?
I would say it's the character and like the family environment too. Since I got here, we went on a roll actually when I got here. But we won some really tight games and a lot of games were against the top three. But it was also like, I think it was Scorpions. We went up 3-0 after the first. We came back 3-3 and we just didn't panic. We just start working again. And I think that's just the resilience we have. Same thing, we were in Eisbären, I think my second game. It was like a 2-3-2 overtime win. And then, like, yes, we had maybe more control of the puck over the game, but we weren't really scoring like the other games. But we just kept with it, and we didn't panic. and then we end up winning in overtime. But I think it's just a character where sometimes we'll go down or it's going to be a close game. I keep our composure and just finish with a strong last 20 minute or overtime, and then we get the win at the end. So I think that's one of our biggest strengths so far.
Ich habe nach der Füchse-Saison erstmal Phil gefragt, warum die so erfolgreich läuft. Und er sagt auf jeden Fall der Charakter. Also das Team schafft es auch gegen starke Mannschaften aus der Top 3, auch wenn man gegen die Scorpions 3-0 geführt hat und das 3-3 fängt, trotzdem stabil zu bleiben, wieder zu arbeiten und gut zu spielen. Und er macht das auf jeden Fall als Erfolgspunkt aus hier bei der Mannschaft. And you're also on a hot streak. So I think you have already, 2 points in average per game, roughly. So would you say that you've got used to German hockey and the team very fast and put yourself in a good position?
Yeah, I think obviously just coming in, I got in, I think, on a Thursday and like late afternoon, and the next day I was playing a game already. So I think
and you scored.
I ended up scoring. So I was a little bit lucky in a way to get involved right away, and it kind of obviously gave me a lot of confidence. And like we said too earlier, like the team has been really helpful to help us fit in the team. And I think just being thrown out right away the second day you're here, it does make a big impact in a way to make you feel welcome. And like I said, the team was playing really well as well before we even got here. So it was already an easier fit and an easier way to get into. So hopefully I'll just keep having an impact on the team and help them win more games.
Ich habe gefragt nach seiner persönlichen Bilanz, weil die ist ja sehr stark mit ungefähr 2 Punkten pro Spiel, und er ist an einem Donnerstag gekommen und am Freitag direkt ein Tor gemacht, und er sagt, das Team spielte vorher auch schon gut, aber es ist natürlich schön für ihn, dass er ja seinen Platz gefunden hat und so einen guten Lauf hat. You've just recently come to the team. What is your impression from the team so far?
Yeah, I mean, been here for 2 weeks now, so yeah. I mean, it's I don't say I have as much time here and experience with the team as Phil has had, but I think right off the bat I want to say, I don't know if surprising is the right word, but I was surprised with just how much everybody gets along with each other. And especially in a team setting where I always believe, like, you don't need to be best friends with everybody on the team, but you need to respect everybody on the team. And definitely in the locker room, everybody respects everybody. It doesn't matter if you're 40 years old or 18 years old. Everybody respects everybody. And I think that shows on the ice, like Phil's saying, where, people don't panic. People don't yell at each other. If things are going bad, we just stick to our system. We stick to what we know works. Just like even the last game in Hanover, where, it was 3-0 for a long stretch of the game. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we had our chances then. Yeah. When we got down 3-0, it could have been easy to fold up and go, okay, well, tonight's not the night. But, we said, no, let's just keep at it, stick to our structure. And we definitely got chances to get back in that game. Their goalie made some big saves. So I feel like that kind of is showing what kind of character the team has. And definitely it's a team that I've noticed that has a lot of depth from top to bottom. Like, every line contributes, every D pairing contributes, right? So it definitely looks to me like a playoff style team where, you're not relying on just like one or two guys to score, where that can be problematic in the playoffs because with line matching and stuff. So I think it's just really, really a good culture of team first.
Da waren viele, viele gute Sachen dabei. Also Carter sagt, dass er direkt, als er angekommen ist, gemerkt hat, dass es ein Team ist, wo sich alle respektieren, wo die Leute sehr gut miteinander klarkommen, was auch außergewöhnlich führend ist. Und er sagte nochmal, dass das natürlich so ist, dass man sich zumindest respektieren muss, aber dass es in dem Team wirklich gut klappt und auch man auf dem Eis sieht, dass wenn es mal nicht so gut läuft, keiner panisch wird, alle bleiben bei ihrem Gameplan, auch in Hannover. Man hätte nach 3:0 locker sagen können, ach, das schaffen wir heute nicht mehr. Und trotzdem war das Team drin und hat alles versucht und ja, hatte sogar gute Chancen, die Leon Wiemer da zunichte gemacht hat. Übrigens gute Besserung, der hat sich relativ schwer verletzt. Und ja, das ist schon ein Aushängeschild der Mannschaft und sagt sogar, dass sie auch Playoff-Format oder Playoff-Form haben. Yeah, what is your plan or what are your goals with the team? You said there is playoff shape, every line can contribute to success. How far can that go?
It can go all the way. Like, I don't see why not. I think the goal for the remaining of the second phase of the season is to obviously clinch a home ice advantage and try to battle to get even maybe third spot. But obviously, once the playoff starts, it's been a while since I've had like actual game, like 5-game and 7-game playoffs. Mm. But I remember like those were the best time when I was in junior hockey at university. It's a completely different game once you get to playoff. And like Carter said, I think we're building up to be a really good and strong team in the playoffs. And the goal is obviously to win. It's always to win. No matter what game you're playing, you play to win. So I don't see why my goal and the team's goal should be different there.
Ja, Phil sagt ganz sportlich, ja, warum soll man sich irgendwie Grenzen setzen? Das kann den ganzen Weg gehen. Sehr erfolgreich die letzten Spiele gewesen. Man versucht natürlich Platz 4 und den Heimvorteil zu schaffen. Aber es kann überall hingehen in den Playoffs. Er hat lange Zeit selber nicht mehr Best of 5 oder Best of 7 gespielt. Und das waren immer die besten Zeiten und die schönsten Zeiten in seiner Jugend. Und das hofft er natürlich auch wieder zu haben. And what would you say about the remaining season?
Yeah, definitely, you know, the goal, ultimate goal is to win, right? Like Phil was saying. But yeah, just take it round by round though, and not you know, not look too far forward. I mean, I know I don't have a ton of playoff experience in the Oberliga, but when I was playing in Deggendorf a few years ago, we were you know, we had a really strong regular season. We ended up third, not too far off of first and second though in there, and we crossed over and played against Ham, and I mean, on paper we were heavy favorites, but you know, in the playoffs everything changes and every game is tough, and it ended up you know, going to you know, a fifth game. Yep. And I think we won the game 2-1, and I think almost every game was a one goal game.
Yeah.
Except for one, we won with an empty netter. So it's the ultimate goal, definitely, you know, to win, and you know, the potential is there for this team, but to know that you got to focus on every game and treat every game as almost like a new season. If you lose, you erase it and come back strong. If you win, you enjoy it for, you know, an hour, and then you erase it and you come back for the next time. So, but it's definitely the most, you know, exciting part of the year. And when the intensity is really high, those are the games you want to play in.
Also Kata sagte, das ist für ihn wichtig, erstmal zu gewinnen, und man guckt von Runde zu Runde und nicht zu weit nach vorne, sondern im Moment lieber bleiben, und er erinnert sich an eine Serie, als er in Deggendorf gespielt hat, gegen Hamm, wo man auch auf dem Papier klarer Favorit war, aber die Spiele waren alle eng, nur ein Tor im Abstand, einmal gab es ein Empty-Net-Goal, und man sieht also, jedes Spiel kann anders sein, alle Spiele sind eng. Das heißt, man muss wirklich jedes Spiel wie eine eigene Saison nehmen und sich darauf vorbereiten. Und es kann alles passieren, aber das Ziel ist natürlich, die Spiele zu gewinnen. Vielleicht noch ein paar Informationen. Am Freitag endlich wieder ein Heimspiel gegen die Hannover Indians. Und alle Fans müssen auf jeden Fall kommen, nicht nur um die Füchse zu unterstützen, sondern auch, weil wir Freitag vor dem Spiel auf jeden Fall eine Verkündung haben werden. Was das ist, da kann man noch gespannt sein. Es wird auf jeden Fall etwas Besonderes geben am Freitag. I was telling that Friday is going to be news before the game. So something exciting to announce. So we cannot tell what, but something will happen. I was told, I can say. So wir schauen mal. Wir sind sehr gespannt. For you, a final statement. What is your biggest wish for you as a person or for the team?
caught me by surprise a little bit. I think the biggest wish right now is, and I'll be, I said it too, I really want to win. So my biggest wish is going to be for everybody to enjoy the next couple months, because that's what hockey is all about, but also to win.
And you?
Yeah, I would say just, give the fans, something to be proud of no matter what happens. Obviously, want to take this as far as we can, but to make sure that we're just giving it our all, and that we all pull together and we all stay healthy, and we can win some rounds and see what happens.
Ich habe beide gefragt, was ist so ihr letzter Schlusswunsch für die nächste Saison, und sie sagt ja auf jeden Fall gewinnen. Das ist das Wichtige, dass wir noch Spaß haben in den letzten Monaten, und Carter sagt das auch, dass es wichtig ist, an sich zu glauben und Erfolg zu haben, und das ist alles, was zählt in der Zukunft. Okay, it was a pleasure having you guys on the show. Thanks for taking your time, and of course I wish you all the success that it can be a long season, and that the fans have something they can be happy and excited about. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks to you. It was a pleasure too.
Yeah, thanks so much. Really enjoyed it.
Ja, das war die 18. Folge von Late Hit. Ich hoffe, es hat euch gefallen und ihr schaltet beim nächsten Mal wieder rein. Danke fürs Zuhören. Grüße aus dem Fuchsbau. Euer Olli.
Da, Duisburg, wie sieht's aus? Seid ihr da?
Fort nach die Füchse. Ganz stark. Und jetzt die Chance. Rein, was dort?
Tor!
Da ist es. 5-4. Und wer macht es? Nado langsam. Bringt die Füchse in Führung. Ja. Wahnsinn.
Natürlich aufpassen, keinen Abseits zu holen.
Schieß! Da ist die Scheibe im Tor, Martin Szymański!
Late Hit, der offizielle Podcast der Füchse Duisburg.